Welcome to Peyto Exploration and Development Corp's 2011 Reserves Podcast. Here I have Darren G., the President and CEO of Peyto, Scott Robinson, our COO and VP of Operations, and Ariko Espiritu, our Manager of Engineering and Business Development, here to discuss and explain some of our information that's presented in the Reserves news release that came out yesterday. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening to this and encourage you to visit our website and look at our presentations and monthly president's report for further information and depth and color on this. So I'd like to start off with a question for Darren. We just issued a news release presenting highlights of the independent reserve report conducted by Insight Petroleum Consultants, formerly Paddock Lindstrom and Associates. From the numbers presented, are proved producing, proved undeveloped, and proved plus probable reserves increased in both value and volume? How have we managed this despite the substantial drop in commodity prices that Insight is using this year when compared to last?
Jim, you know, I'd have to say we had an awesome year at Peyto.
We executed on the largest capital program in our history,
and I think we executed it with very good efficiency. So I guess we should expect that our reserves and value have grown year over year. And because Peyto's low cost structure is maintained year over year, we're able to make that growth truly accretive to shareholders. You know, all of this comes from our long-term focus on returns. When the returns are there, the growth happens. And not just growth in our future opportunities, but growth in the producing reserves as well. And that's maybe even more important, as those are the ones that are generating the cash flow today.
Okay. Next question is for Ariko Espiritu, our Manager of Engineering and Business Development. Ariko, last year when we sat down to discuss this, we had results from five formations that we had tried horizontal drilling on. Now, after more than 2 years of horizontal drilling, which formations have we exploited, and is there anything new left to try in 2012?
Thanks, Jim. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, in addition to the five horizons we have tried previously, namely the Cardium, Naughty Key, One Fuller, Woolrich and the Cadman, Peyto drilled its first horizontal well in the Dunvegan at Cut Bank, and also its first horizontal well in the Blue Sky in Sundance. So that makes it seven formations to date. We do have an opportunity to try the Cadotte formation on some prospective acreage we acquired last year, but it remains to be seen if this is something we would embark on in 2012, given the low level for natural gas prices. However, if we see a strengthening gas price later in the year, then we will bring our test well location back on the queue. If not this year, we're hopeful that it will be in 2013.
So, Ariko, with another year's baseline on the wells we had at the beginning of 2011, how has that changed our existing reserves, and how has it changed the reserves booked to new wells we drilled in 2011?
Well, Jim, with our base production in 2011 being a mixture of vertical wells and horizontal wells, the overall decline we saw last year was approximately 33%, with the horizontal wells declining at a faster rate. However, the aggregate decline rate that our reserves evaluators predicted last year for the horizontal wells was much higher than the actual decline rate, thus causing an overall upward revision on the 43 horizontal wells that Peyto had prior to 2011. So in summary, the pre-2011 horizontal wells saw an average increase in proven reserves of approximately 10%. Consequently, the average proven reserves booked to the new wells drilled in 2011 is up slightly at 2.8 BCF per well from last year's average of 2.6 BCF per well.
Okay. So now I'm going to turn to Scott Robinson, our COO and VP of Operations. Scott, we've spoken about our plans to increase our ability to separate out propane from our gas stream. When does this capability come online, and how will it affect our reserves?
Yeah, Jim, this is project that we're quite excited about. We do currently recover propane, and actually all this is about is a value-added process of just increasing the recovery of both propane and butane. Those are the two main components that that we'll see increases on. With propane and butane values currently selling in a liquid form at about 4 to 6 times that of their value if they're sold in the gas phase, there's quite a value uplift, and that's what makes us very excited about this project. We're going to see in magnitude, our old man liquid production increase from a current level of about 20 barrels per million as it currently stands with the existing process up to a level of about 35 barrels per million just through the improvement resulting from this process. This will result in slightly less sales gas being sold and a slightly leaner sales gas being sold, but obviously the overall impact is more revenue and more profit for us. That 15 barrel per million increase is roughly what we're seeing in the reserves over the life of the wells that produce to the plant. The project itself, you asked when it would start up, we're anticipating late in the year. Could be in the September-October time frame if things work out well with the fabrication of the equipment, which thus far is on schedule. And as the reserve books reflect, we do see an increase in our total proved for Old Man starting the end of this year and continuing for the life of that facility. We've also got in our 2P reserves a provision for increases at both our Nose Hill and our Wild Hay plants, which will sequentially occur in 2013 and 2014. We're looking at trying to accelerate those two projects, and we're in the early stages of kicking those off right now.
Okay, back to Rico. Can you give us an overview of our reserves by formation and how we added to them by formation during the last year?
Okay, Jim. Well, in our 2010 reserves report last year, the six formations that were developed further by Horse and Walls in 2011 account for 89% of the company's total P plus PA reserves. These are Cardium at 46.4%, Woolrich at 18.6%, Nauticeon at 18.2%, Falher at 3.6%, Blue Sky at 0.7%, and Dunvegan at 0.5%. However, the percent breakdown of the new producing reserves that we added in 2011 is as follows: Cardium at 22.3%, Woolrich at 44.2%, Nauticeon at 20.7%, Falher at 10.1%, Blue Sky at 1.7%, and Dunvegan at 1%. So in addition, the wells we drilled in 2011 have proven up additional future locations that increased our horizontal well inventory from 305 locations last year to 409 locations this year. The increase in undeveloped locations has shifted the overall distribution of reserves by formation slightly. The six formations I mentioned earlier now account for 90.4% of the company's total P plus PA reserves. The Cardium formation still leads the way at 46.5%, almost unchanged. The Woolrich is at 18.8%, up slightly by 0.2%. The Nauticeon is at 16.3%, down from 18.2%. The Falher is at 5.6, up from 3.6. The Blue Sky is at 2.4, up from 0.7. And the Dunvegan is at 0.8%, also up from 0.5%.
Rico, each year we start with a base production from previous years, which declines, and then add on production that initially has a high decline rate, and even years that our production was flat, we added on significant production. Can you explain how much of our production at the start and end of 2011 was from wells that we had drilled prior to 2011, and how much was added in 2011? Also, can you tell us about where our decline rate for our base production is forecast to go in 2012?
Well, we exited 2010 with a base production of approximately 30,600 BOEs per day, and this production declined 33% to approximately 20,400 BOEs per day at the end of 2011. Now, the new wells we drilled in 2011 added approximately 21,700 BOEs per day of new production to yield an exit production rate of more than 42,000 BOEs per day. We are forecasting our base production in 2012 to be less than the 33% we saw in 2011, likely around the 31% mark.
Darren, in our reserve report news release, we examine our future drilling prospects out for 5 years as part of our proved undeveloped and our proved plus probable activities. Can you give us some color on those prospects and what other prospects we might develop over the next few years?
Yeah, Jim, the undeveloped locations that Insight recognized in the reserve report, those qualify as either proved or probable based on their assessment of risk, and that's Insight's assessment of the risk of those locations. You know, we obviously believe that we have many more locations in inventory and on our lands beyond what they recognize in the report, but either Insight deems them too exploratory or they'll be developed too far into the future to be recognized just yet. What has been recognized are approximately 430 drilling locations, with our average working interest somewhere around 75 to 80%. Within this group, over half are from the more liquids-rich formations, like Rico was talking about, the Cardium and the Falher, while the other half are in the leaner Spirit River formations of the Wilrich, the Nauticuan, and then some in the Blue Sky. And then there's a few other zones, Cataman, the Cadotte, like Rico mentioned, were sprinkled in there. But, you know, even after all 430 locations are drilled, our existing land base will only be 18% developed. And that's sort of the surprising potential of the multi-zone stack formations in the Deep Basin. And, you know, over the next 5 years, those 430 locations are scheduled to be developed at around the same pace as we executed last year, and for a capital schedule of approximately $1.8 billion. Interestingly enough, though, when you look at the schedule of cash flows that are projected over the next 5 years for that same case, we generate enough operating income to fund the capital required, the dividend we're currently paying, and we could pay off our debt if those cash flows come to bear as Paddock, or as Insight, sorry, has forecast them. All at basically this lower gas price forecast that they're currently carrying. Beyond that, we think we have between 200 and maybe 300 more locations that we can still drill on our lands. And I suspect that over the next 5 years, we will continue to add lands and locations to even that inventory. So, you know, it's not like our exploration group is taking the next 5 years off and we're just going to develop what Insight's reflected. They're going to keep doing what they've always been doing, and that's building on our future.
So, Scott, in consideration of the current low level for natural gas prices, can you provide a brief overview of what type of wells we plan to pursue this year and a general idea of the timing of our plans for the year?
Yeah, Darren spoke about our cost structure, and we've talked about that numerous times. Because of our cost structure, most everything within our existing portfolio is very attractive. We've seen, obviously, at these lower prices, what calculates out to be a slightly lower rate of return, but still very good returns on all of the well species that we have. In light of the current low prices, we are going to shift slightly to a higher component of liquids-rich wells. Our Cardiums will be a key theme in the first part of the year, and some of the other formations, the Falher and the Nauticuan in the Nose Hill area. All of those have very good liquid yields, so to take advantage of the liquid prices, we're going to be looking at that. With respect to the timing of our plans this year, we're running 5 rigs right now, still very active. Basically, we ran an average of 5 rigs last year, so we're spending at a very decent pace and getting very good results. We expect to have spent somewhere between $160 to $180 million by the middle of the year, and would increase that spending over the balance of the year, slightly year-end weighted capital program to come out at our current estimate of somewhere between $400 and $450 million capital.
So, Darren, when I look at some of the other reserve report news releases that have come out, I have trouble seeing exactly what's been accomplished in other companies by their drilling and other activities in the year. Do you have any suggestions on how people should compare our results to other companies?
Well, Jim, you know, I've written monthly reports in the past about reserve metrics that you can use to compare one company to the next. You know, we obviously do a lot of work with our reserves, as evidenced in our reserve release. You know, we rip our reserves apart and we look specifically at, you know, profitability metrics. We look at how much money we've generated for shareholders on the capital that we've invested over the year. We look at the change in the values, both the parts that we control and the parts we don't control, like commodity prices, for instance. You don't see that kind of reconciliation in a lot of other companies' reports, unfortunately. But, you know, we've often pointed our shareholders to the producing reserves as one of the parts of the reserve report they should really have a hard look at. It's unfortunate that most companies and most analysts, write-ups you see, they go right to the 2P number, which, yeah, you know, the undeveloped and the future inventory is important, but a lot of times you can really tell about the profitability and the efficiency of a company through the change in producing reserves. Reserve Life Index is, you know, one where, as a good example, many people talk about their 2P Reserve Life Index, but that's not really a good metric because you're comparing current production with a bunch of undeveloped reserves. And so that doesn't really give you a good sense of what the reserve life or the reserve to production ratio really is. You have to look at the producing reserves relative to the current production. Those are the two pieces that are apples to apples. And when you do that, for instance, you see that Peyto has a very long reserve life relative to the rest of the industry. Whereas if you look at 2P reserve life index, that might not show up so much. So, you know, I definitely think that investors need to look at producing reserves, look at the change in the value of those producing reserves and the effect that a capital program has on those producing reserves. You know, we went to some effort in this reserves release to demonstrate what happened to some of the undeveloped locations that we ended up developing in the year. How much capital did we spend on those locations that were booked in the reserve report as undeveloped last year and have now turned into proven producing reserves? And we've done that 2 years in a row now. And I think that gives our shareholders a lot of confidence in the quality of the bookings that we have for other future opportunities. And I don't see that in a lot of other companies' reports, and it's unfortunate that they're not doing those kinds of reconciliations. You know, I think one of the last things that's important is the whole funding of the undeveloped. You know, there's a lot of resource plays now that have a lot of attention by a lot of companies, and they're talking about discoverable petroleum in place. They're even talking about big undeveloped reserves within their asset bases and land bases. But how are they going to fund the development of those reserves? Can that be really accretively funded for shareholders? And, you know, when you look at the future development capital relative to the amount of asset an individual company might have, especially their proved producing assets, sometimes there's a bust there. And so we pointed out for shareholders that even though we have $1.8 billion of future development capital requirement to fund our undeveloped, our proven producing reserves are going to throw off, you know, close to $5 billion in cash over their life. So we're obviously going to have lots of money to fund that undeveloped and make that undeveloped accretive when we do develop it for shareholders.
And Darren, can you describe just how you feel overall now about where this reserve puts Peyto?
You know, Jim, I think this reserve report, I think shareholders can take away from this reserve report and the detailed analysis that we've done three very important conclusions with respect to Peyto. One, that the capital we invested in 2011 was invested very well, and it will generate a very good return for them. You know, secondly, I think this reserve report highlights the fact that our future opportunities grew and are continuing to grow even faster than we can convert them, which is pretty exciting for our future. And three, that the underlying value of the reserve assets are still very strong and growing, and even at lower commodity price forecasts. And that's obviously because of Peyto's low-cost advantage and low-cost structure. It's interesting. I always think these are sort of basic questions that every investor wants and needs to know. You know, we're all big investors in Peyto, and these are the questions that we want answered from the reserve report. And so that's why we go to the effort of detailing those answers for shareholders. So I do hope that our investors will read the release and look at those reserves thoroughly. And like you said at the start of this, if they have any questions at all, you know, they can send us emails and they can check back on the website. Hopefully we can answer those through future President's Monthly Reports and other parts of the presentation.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening and remind them that they can follow up with us on the website and by email or by phone. Thank you.